Let's turn a page. We're starting a new series. It's called This Is Us. And if you're familiar at all with pop culture, you know that the number one show on television is a show about the Pearson family, right? How many of you guys, just by way of hands, are familiar with that show? Okay, that's incredible. All right, just about everybody else raised their hand. And it's the story of the Pearson family. You know, there's Jack and Rebecca and Kate and Randall and Kevin, and there they are. And this show resonates so deeply with people to the point where it's got this reputation that if you watch it, grab the Kleenex. Because there's sort of the outer character and plots that are developed, but then there's these subplots. There's these issues that are connected to each of the people in the show, and you get attached, and then you see them walk through these highly personal issues. And whenever I'm watching a show and I feel tears welling up inside, it's because there's something about that story that connects with me. Not on the outside, but where? On the inside, in my heart. That's right. I'm watching this, and all of a sudden, and you know, as a guy, it's just like, what's happening to me? You know, there's some things going on. There's actually a heart in there that has feelings, and I start to feel things, and all of a sudden, my eyes are getting watery, and it's just a sign that we all share the human experience. We're human beings. Human beings have feelings. Human beings have circumstances. Human beings have challenges. And you know, being in the human experience world myself, where I travel, I put on conferences, every conference I do, I ask for people to give me feedback. Like, what'd you think of our time together? Right? 3 sessions, 45 minutes. And I must have read in the last 18 years, I would say well over 100,000 of these evaluations. Do you know what the number one comment is on a personal level? I realized I'm not alone. Now that says a lot. And it doesn't matter whether I'm in the Southwest or the Northwest or in Brazil or anywhere. I ask the same question. Hey, what'd you think about today's experience? And what people write consistently over 18 years, the number one resonating comment is, I realized that I'm not alone. And translated, they're saying it's comforting. It's comforting to know that I'm not unique when it comes to the challenges that I face. But sometimes we walk around and we feel like we're alone. We feel like, gosh, we're the only ones going through this. We're the only ones struggling to find a job. We're the only ones having marital difficulties. We're the only ones with a health challenge. We're the only ones who are disconnected and fragmented and experiencing chaos and dysfunction. And I don't really want to talk about it. Instead, what we do is we put this image out there that betrays the reality going on in our private lives. Okay, and so when we started this series, and we think, this is us, you know, we realize that people are sort of like icebergs, all right? Where there's this public you, and then underneath the waterline of your image is a real person, and you're thinking things that we all think. You're wondering about things that we all wonder about. You're facing challenges that we all face. You're tempted by things we're all tempted by. You're anxious about things that we're all anxious about. You're asking questions about life and about your purpose that everybody on the face of the planet is asking. You see, it's a common human journey, right? But sometimes we're made to feel like, no, yours is uncommon, everybody else's is common, and we compare ourselves with people and go, oh, they have it all together, and I'm just this uncommon person who's experiencing stuff, okay? Newsflash, everybody's got stuff. Can we say that together? Everybody's got stuff, all right? And that's what This Is Us is all about. So in this series, we wanna dive below the waterline, and the big reason why our teaching team wants to go there with you, literally, because we want you to know one thing. You are not alone. You're not alone. And as we kind of talk about things and we discuss life and life's purpose and realize, gosh, I'm realizing I'm not alone. Not only do we get closer to one another, you get closer to God. We experience God as we recognize that we are created in his image, and that's what we're gonna talk about this morning. So this morning, kicking it off, we're gonna ask the most basic and most fundamental questions of the human experience. Who are we? Where do we come from? And more importantly, do we matter? Now, that's the tip. That's the general sort of questions, but let's make it more specific. To you, who am I? Where do I come from? And where am I going? And it's relevant this morning because if you don't know the answers to those questions, life doesn't make sense. Life, because of all of its injustices and evils and brokenness, if you don't know the answer to who am I, where do I come from, and where am I headed, then you're just an accident. Then you're just this random glob of biological material where you just randomly came together and you live and you die and you might have some joy and sadness. And then you go back to being, you know, inorganic matter, and that's a sad life. That's a life without meaning. But we all know that we're all in search for that meaning. Why am I on this earth? Why am I here? What am I put here for? And if you get the answers to those questions from a reliable source, right, it's a game changer. It changes everything. It doesn't change some things about your life. It changes everything about your life when you know your purpose. And so the Bible says, that includes everybody here and everybody watching us online, that no person ever born is an accident or a surprise to God, the Creator. Now, you might have become a mother by accident. You might have become a father by accident, all right? You might feel because of your family system that you were an accident or that people didn't even know you were there. But let me make something very clear. There are no accidental babies and there are no accidental people. You are created by God. And that's what we're gonna talk about today. We're gonna answer the how, the when, and the why of us, okay? This is us. And so in your bulletin, you can take out your message notes. We have some notes in there for you to follow along. So take those out. And for all of you fill-in people, you're gonna have a great day today, all right? So this is the story of us. And the story of us begins in the first line of God's word, the Bible. And it says this: in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And God said, and then it's on. This first sentence of God's word, the Bible of Scripture: in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. With that statement, the Bible affirms that the existence of the universe and everything in it, every product of that universe, is God's creative act. Let's say that together. God's creative act. That's right. This is us begins with a creative act. If you're taking notes, write that down. That's where it all starts. Now, I have to ask you a question. I want everyone to be really, really honest with me. How many of you have ever decided that you wanted to make chocolate chip cookies? Okay. And okay, next set of hands. And you actually made them, okay? And then next set of hands, and then you consumed more than you should. Okay, all right, so I just wanna get everybody on the same page. Everybody either has a desire for some kind of food or something like that. I just pick chocolate chip cookies because usually my wife makes them, but every now and then when I get a hankering, I get out all the stuff and I make them. But there's a process from going from no chocolate chip cookies to chocolate chip cookies appearing, right? And there's this process of them going from nothing to the warm and the sweet and the melty. Got to be a little melty, amen? All right, got to be a little melty. And the way it all starts is something inside of you says, I want some chocolate chip cookies. And then you go about the process of creating chocolate chip cookies. And when something's created, it means that something outside of it informs something else, and there has to be some kind of intelligence behind it. You know, chocolate chip cookies don't just come about. There's this human intelligence called me, and it's because I want it, I make it happen, all right? When we look at the scripture, God, as we learn from the Bible, is eternally existent, and in his eternal past, he's just existing. And then all of a sudden, here in Genesis chapter 1:1, he decides on the inside of his person, I'm gonna start creating. And that's where when the scripture says, and God said, it kicks off the whole thing. Now in Genesis 1:3, chapter 1, verses 3 through 25, there is this series of, and God said, right? Light, and God said, dry land, and God said, waters, and God said, vegetation, and God said, stars, and God said, living creatures. And at the end of each little exercise of God deciding to create, he says, and it was good. In other words, it's complete, it's full, it's mature, it's done, and I like what I make. You know, when you make those chocolate chip cookies, you know the color it's supposed to be, right? You know, depending on your, it's in a range, right? You got, it can't be like black on the bottom, but it can't be like doughy on the bottom. It's gotta be that, you know, that caramely color on the bottom. And then you know, those are gonna be good. God, when he was finished doing creative things after each thing, whether it was land or sea or vegetation or stars or living creatures, he would say, and this is good. And this theme of God deciding to command and create is all through scripture. I just pulled one out of the Old Testament and one out of the New Testament. In Psalm 33, verses 8 and 9, it says, let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. For he spoke, and it came to be. He commanded, and it stood firm. In the New Testament, in the book of Colossians, it says this, for by him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, let's finish it together. All things were created through him and for him. And so when you think about this world that we live in, this solar system, this universe, all galaxies, all nebulae, all solar systems, all grains of sand, all bacterial microbes, every form of energy, every cellular and nuclear structure was created because God said, I want that to happen. Now, some people say, Kenny, what came first? The chicken or the egg? And here's your answer. You ready? The chicken, fully grown. All right? God, when he spoke, he created things out of material that did not previously exist. And this is where my chocolate chip analogy breaks down. God didn't like go to the cabinet and say, let's see, cellular structures, mitochondria, nebulae, planets, stars. No, God created in a fancy terminology, ex nihilo, something comes out of nothing. And that's why in Romans chapter 4, Paul affirms this when he says he calls into being that which did not previously exist. So it's not chicken or the egg, it's the chicken full grown. When God says, I want something, boom, it's there, it's mature, it's complete, it's all done, and it's done in the time frame that the Bible says. Because it's God who's doing the creating. When he wants something to happen, he doesn't have to wait for a process. He's not sprinkling seed around going, okay, I'm just gonna wait and see if it grows. He just says, I want that, boom, and it happens. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and it happened at a point in time when God, he felt like creating. And boom, it came into being, all right? So when God creates the heaven and the earth, he creates it fully mature and fully grown. That's what we need to know. This is us. This whole human story starts with a creative act. And so we read the creation account in Genesis 1:1 through Genesis 2:3, okay? He's not creating, and then all of a sudden, God decides to start creating. And let me just say for clarity, I just wanna be really clear this morning. This is not allegory. This is not a metaphor. This is not a literary style. This is not creative poetry. This is pure history. God giving an eyewitness account of creation, telling it to Moses, and Moses writing it down. In fact, Genesis chapter 1 and 2 is the only eyewitness account of creation. out of no pre-existing material. He just decides. And so then the story takes a turn in Genesis 1, 26, when he goes from creating land and light and living creatures and sea and expanses. The scripture says this in Genesis 1, 26 and 27 and into chapter 2. Then God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over the livestock and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Moving into chapter 2, it says this, then the Lord God said, it's not good for the man to be alone. I will make him a helper for him. So the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man. And while he slept, he took one of his ribs and closed up its place with flesh. And the rib that the Lord God had taken from the man, he made into a woman, thank you, God, and brought her to the man. Then the man said, this at last is bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. And the man and his wife were both naked and were not ashamed. All right, we got some cookies. We're cooking chili. We're cooking good stuff right there. That is the story of us. There is the eyewitness account of how all things began, how this universe began, God's existing, and then God says, you know what? I want to start creating, and God speaks. And because God is omnipotent, and because God is sovereign, because God's over everything he makes, all he has to do is will it and to speak it, and it's done. Fully matured, fully reproductive, fully sustainable, it happens. Boom. And then he says, you know what? I'm gonna create this special being. I'm gonna create a human being. I'm gonna start with the man, and then I'm gonna fashion a woman out of his rib. And all of this seems so mystical and fantastical, but it's very practical if you're God. You can do all of this. And so we're gonna unpack what we just read with the time that we have remaining, all right? And here's the first thing we gotta know about the story of us. Write this down. We are created with intention. Can we all say that together? We are created with intention. You look in the scripture and it says, then God said, let us make man. And I have underlined in your notes, let us. When you let something happen, you're giving permission for it to happen. You want it to happen. Okay, let it go. All right, let us start this process. It means that there's intention behind it. In Proverbs 16:4, it says this, the Lord has made everything for its purpose. All right, you might want to circle that, for its purpose. All right, in Isaiah 44, it says this, thus says the Lord, who made you, who formed you in the womb and will help you, fear not. When we talk about the story of us, part of the goal of us talking about these things is to take anxiety and fear out of your soul. Why? Because you know that you're created, that God formed you, that God made you for a purpose, that this moment, the next few minutes, the next hour, the next day, the next weeks, as long as your heart is beating on this planet, you have a purpose. Do you know how many problems that solves? Do you know how many quests can stop to try to find meaning once you find meaning in that? That I'm created by God and I'm created for God and that I'm going back to God. Do you know how many problems that's all? You know? And so we have to realize that we're created with intention. You know what I love about God is God has a purpose for just telling us that. It's to take away fear and anxiety. You know, there's 173 million children in this world who are orphans right now. They don't have anybody telling them who they are. In fact, they start at a negative. And it's like, why am I here? No one wanted me. And I'm by myself. And I know that many of you may have been in an intact family, but there wasn't a lot of connection there. And you were wondering, hey, am I an accident? Will anybody talk with me? Will anybody spend time with me? Will anybody pay attention to me? And in a world that is so full of heartache, coming out of the brokenness of man, there is hope when you know that you're created by God and that you're His and that you have purpose. And it actually transcends the brokenness of humanity and gets into your being and your soul. And now you can, that longing inside for meeting can be realized. So the short answer to why are we here? Why are we alive? Is that God planned for you to live? Now, we have to stop and think for a little bit. It's really important that when you talk about creator, created, that you realize that there is an intelligent source behind the person called you, the person who pressed the button on you. So I've got a couple props. Okay, so when we look at this chair, do we tell ourselves, well, you know, the leather was on a cow and the cow died and somehow the leather got caught up in the wind and then it met this tree that had fallen but was cut into specific pieces and then magically the metal studs came and popped themselves in there and the leather got buttoned in there and the wood, it just all kind of came together random. I'm being facetious. No one in their right mind would think that, right? Why? Because this chair, as simple as it is, it manifests order. Everybody say manifests order. Manifests order. Okay, let's move along the continuum. This is my good friend. You know, if this goes down, a person goes down in our home. You know what I'm saying? I know you know what I'm saying. So we go from not so complex to a little more complex. All right, but we don't say to ourselves, wow, polymer and plastic just kind of randomly happened and these little silver switches on there and, you know, that just kind of magically attached itself. You know, who made this goodie? Mr. Coffee. That's the maker of this guy. A little bit more complex, not too complex. You know, coffee makers are simple things. But then we get over to Eric Clapton and John Mayer's best friend. The electric guitar, all right? Much more complex, right? It's got strings, frets, little things, little chord buttons on it, little volume switches. You know, when you look back at the chair and then you look at the guitar, whose maker is Mr. Fender, okay? You say to yourself, man, somebody definitely made that, all right? Let me ask the Schwartzes to come up. I hijacked them. Before the service started, and I said, when I call for you, please come up. Everybody, welcome Fred and Kathy Schwartz. My human props. Okay, not so complex, a little complex. The guitar is more complex. It's a quantum leap. Super complex. Systems, respiratory systems, cardiovascular systems, musculoskeletal systems, DNA, code. If I were to draw blood, which I'm not, this is not a part of this message, okay? And we were to look at it under the microscope, you'd see that DNA stuff. We really tested it. And it's unique to them. Super, super complex. And when you see complexity and order, you naturally, common sense, think, wow, somebody made that. So what I'm saying is that what we think about that and what we think about this and what we think about a guitar, we cannot, it is impossible to look at this and go, oh, that's just a random thing. Oh, that DNA computer code that is them, that doesn't require any intelligence. And oh, by the way, in evolution, you can't mutate upward. Can't prove it. Never have proven it. It's irrational. It's impossible. It's the biggest lie ever foisted on planet Earth. It just doesn't happen. You can't take inorganic matter and make it manifest itself and organize into this. Hasn't been done, never will be done. Okay, let's give them a great hand. You're created with intention. All right, second thing we need to know on the story of us is that we're created in God's image or likeness. All right, that's the second thing. If you're taking notes, write this down. We are created in God's image or likeness. That means that our substance and our core is meant to resemble God himself. There's a thought for you. When you're created, you're created to resemble God. right? And that refers not to the physical part of you, but the immaterial part of you. Adam doesn't look like God. The Bible tells us that God's spirit, all right? God's not a physical form, but God is spirit. So Adam didn't reflect his physicality, but he reflected the immaterial substance of what makes up God. What's that? How are we image bearers? All right, write this down. We're image bearers mentally. All right, what does that mean? It means that humanity was created to exercise thought, exercise reason, exercise the ability to choose. You're in the likeness of God because you have a thought process. You can be creative. And whenever you see somebody invent something, whenever you see someone enjoying a symphony, whenever you see computer code being written or buttons being clicked on a web browser, you are confirming the fact that we are made in God's image mentally. Let's make them in our likeness. What does that mean? It means that you can reason and you can choose. In Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18, the Bible says, it's God talking. He says, come, let us reason together. God likes to interact with us on that level, on that intellectual level. You have intellectual freedom, just like God has. Secondly, we're like God morally, all right? We're like God morally. That means that humanity was created in its original state with righteousness and innocence. You know, every time that you feel guilty over doing something you shouldn't do, that's a reflection of God's image in you. Whenever you're repulsed by something evil, that's a reflection of God's image in you. Whenever you are mad at evil happening, some mass shooter, that's a reflection of God's image in you. You reflect him mentally, you reflect him morally. Every time you're pinged by your conscience, like, I don't know, that's right, if I should do that. You're confirming that you're made in God's image. And then lastly, God created you in his image socially, okay? Humanity was created for friendship and fellowship. In fact, that's the creative act. You hear Father, Son, and Holy Spirit in Genesis chapter 1 when it says, let us make man in our own image. Let us make him in our image. Did you know that your God is a friendship, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? It's a fellowship, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And every time you wanna connect with another person, every time you wanna attend church, every time you walk through the door at a party and you hug someone, you are confirming the fact that you are made in God's image. Why? Because mentally, you have the capacity to reason. Morally, you have a conscience, you reflect his righteousness and innocence, and then socially, you're made for fellowship. Now, all creations of God are image bearers of God, all right? Every person on the planet, all 7 point whatever billion of us are created in the image of God, mentally, morally, and socially, but there is another level. When you go from being a creation of God to becoming a child of God, we talk a lot about that process here at Crossline. When you decide, not only am I a creation of God, but I want to become a member of the family of God and say yes to Jesus Christ and enter God's family, that whole image of God in you goes to another level. And we read about it in Romans 8:29. It says, for those whom he foreknew, in other words, those who would choose him, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son. In other words, if you're a follower of Jesus and you're listening to my words right now, you're in the process of becoming like Christ. That's God's ultimate vision for you. It's not even that you attend church or go on a missions trip or read the Bible. It's, I want you to have the family resemblance. So you are created with intention. You are created in his image. Third, we are created with a specific identity. Write that down. In verse 27 of Genesis 1, it says, in the image of God, he created them, male and female, he created them. God is cooking up this little idea in his mind. It's like, well, she's different and he's different. Let's make more, all right? And he creates man and woman. Jesus affirms the creation account when he says, but from the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. He creates two unique beings who will start creating human beings. That's why we're all here. You know, you affirm creation by you just being here. You're a created thing. Two human beings came together. A sperm fertilized an egg. And boom, you were born. God formed you in the womb. Now, in the age of gender wars, can we just say some things? All right, let's write this down. Each sex is distinct, all right? There is a vision and a value behind each sex, male and female, equally, all right? Each sex is valuable, all right? Male, valuable. Female, valuable, all right? They're image bearers, number one. That's why they're valuable. They're made in the image of God, instant dignity. So each sex is distinct, each sex is valuable. Both are required to reflect God. Think with me on this just for a second. He looks at Adam and goes, no, need a little bit more. Man, you need to look way better, you know? So let's do the female, all right? And she's gonna be intuitive and mysterious and creative, and she's gonna be so amazing. And guess what? She's gonna help you. She's gonna help you be all that you can be. So you're okay, but man, you're so much better with her. Did you hear what I just said, man? Especially you married men, right? You are so much better. I want all the guys to say, I am so much better. I am so much better with her. That's right. That's what God says. He's like, you know what? You're incomplete. Both are needed to reflect me, and both are given as a gift to the other. Don't miss this. One is the gift to the other. How cool is that? So we are created with intention. We are created in God's image, and we're created with a specific identity. Now, this is all pointing toward what theologians call creation orders. Life is a creation order. Man, the creation of man, is a creation order, all right? Marriage is a creation order between male and female. This is God's original template. And as we look at that, we're like, okay, what's the end game? Male and female, what is God after? What's gonna be the product that is gonna be so deep? What's the purpose? That gets to our last point, all right? Which is, we are created for intimacy. In Genesis 2:22, it says, and the rib that the Lord God had taken from the man, he made into a woman. And I underlined this in your notes. He brought her to the man. Now, guys, I don't know what Adam's reaction was when he saw her. But, you know, it's like, you know, those Looney Tunes cartoons where the eyes come popping out in hearts. You know, things start expanding. All right, just saying. All right. Wow. Oh, my Lord. Okay, this sort of explains the attraction thing going on, right? It also explains the evil of pornography. It's a distortion of God's original intention that devalues, that doesn't respect the image bearing, that woman is created in God's image. But man, I would give anything to see. It's sort of like, you know, a snapshot in time. Can I get in a time machine and go back to creation? And when Eve just struts onto the scene, and what is going on inside of Adam? All right? Good afternoon. Right? And the reason you're laughing is because we feel this creative force. We're confirming the image of God right now, even as we chuckle, even as we laugh, because it's there. It's a force. It's because God put it there, all right? So we're created for intimacy, all right? Now, what does that intimacy look like? Write this down. To be deeply invested, number one. Can't get any more deeply invested than bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh, okay? That's like Adam's just going, you're me. I want you to be me, and I want to be you, and all that other stuff that goes on, all right? So we're called to be deeply invested. This just doesn't speak to human marriage. It speaks to relationships as well, that we're called to be deeply invested one with another. Second, to deeply identify. If you're here and you're married, you're called to deeply identify with your spouse. In Genesis, it says, and a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife. You can't be, I mean, united isn't separated. United isn't partially together. This is united. It's called the concept of oneness. So what's God's intention for intimacy between a man and a woman? Oneness, all right? And it's mystical, and it's God-ordained, and it's a creation order, okay? Third, God calls us to be deeply intimate. Now, you can go the physical route, but I don't want you to miss the less obvious but more important picture Genesis is painting, which is they were both naked and what? Unashamed, okay? So fully exposed, but accepted when they're fully exposed. This goes to the heart of This Is Us. Because guess what? You know what I said in the beginning? We all have our stuff. We all have our stuff. But it's hard sometimes to let our stuff out because we're afraid we won't be fully accepted. Really hard. And so we, in fear of not being fully accepted, even though we could fully expose ourselves, we hide and we self-protect. And then to make up for the lack of connection and the lack of intimacy, we find this false intimacy out there in substances and sex and things and material things and pursuits that don't give us life. Why? Because it's false intimacy. You are made to experience intimacy with your Creator and intimacy with one another. And those two dynamics are true, authentic intimacy. The other stuff is synthetic and destructive. I love what Jesus says about this union between man and woman. So they are no longer two, but one flesh. What therefore God has joined together, let not man separate. That's a clue to what's coming in our series, This Is Us. Because when we see God's original intention and we see that he makes us in his likeness and he sees that he makes us with a specific identity and we see that in those specific identities, he's created us for healthy and wholeness and intimacy, forces that separate come into play. Why? Exactly because we're made in his likeness. We can reason and we can choose him or not choose him. And that's what Pastor JP is gonna talk about in week two. So knowing what we've studied this morning, that we're created with intention, that we are created in God's image, that we are created with a specific identity, and that we're created for intimacy with God in marriage and with each other, that we're created for fellowship, and a deep connection where we're invested one with another and we identify with one another and we're intimate and we're fully accepted. How do you respond? How do you respond to this? Well, when you create something like people, you want what's been created to want you. If you're a parent in the room and you have a baby, you want what you help to create to want you back. And you know, that's a little window into what God's speaking right now. He wants you to want him back. God created you. And you give God great joy, just like when children give their parents joy and they run to them and they, you know, my daughter used to say, hold you. I know the syntax was wrong, but that's what she'd say. She meant hold me. She'd say, hold you. That's what God wants. And so we give God joy, write this down, when I recognize I am created by him and for him. God created you and wants you. The question this morning is, do you want him? He made you with intention. He made you in his image. He made you with a specific identity, and he wants to know you and have you experience the fullness of why he made you. Secondly, we bring God joy when we respond with our heart and our life. Just like a parent has children and the children respond to their parents and they want them. They run to them. They need them for nurture and modeling and guidance. Right? God wants you to respond to him with your heart. And then we bring God joy when we release ourselves fully to his intended purposes. You see, when I was talking about the chair, the purpose of the chair is for someone to sit in it. The purpose of the coffee maker is to produce a great liquid, all right? The purpose of the electronic guitar, complex as it is to make music. You know what the purpose of human beings is? Is to know God and bring him joy. That's your purpose. Some of you walked in here this morning and you weren't sure. I'm here to tell you, from God through this mouth to you, your purpose is to know God and to bring him joy, the joy that comes from fully realizing the purpose for which he created you. You know, it says that in the Bible, in Jeremiah, God is talking about our energy and where it can go versus where it should go. Listen really closely. Thus says the Lord, let not the wise man boast in his wisdom, let not the mighty man boast in his might, let not the rich man boast in his riches, but let him who boasts boast in this, that he understands and knows me, that I'm the Lord who practices steadfast love and justice and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight. You know, there's a recruiting war for your heart and your energies right now. And it could go into becoming rich or being physically strong or being really smart. But you know what God says? If you're gonna brag about anything, brag that you understand and know him. And that brings him great joy. Jesus, in his final prayer, said, and this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. If you want to know your creator or know him more fully, you must come through the Son. Jesus said, yo soy el camino, la verdad y la vida, y nadie viene al Padre si no es por mí. I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. We're gonna go to the Father through Jesus right now, and if you're here and you wanna know your Creator, he really wants to know you. Let's bow our heads together. Lord, your Spirit is hovering in this room just like it hovered over creation. And you're creating new hearts. Right now, hearts that maybe for the first time are realizing that they're created and they're loved by the one who created them. And we're tired of putting energy into things that we're not made to do. It's like eating soup with a fork. Life is just slipping between the cracks. And it's frustrating. But Lord, right now in this moment, we want to come back to our Maker. We want to come back to you, Father. We want to acknowledge that we're made by you and for you, and we really want to know you today. We recognize that we're created. We're responding with our hearts on the inside to a Father who really wants to know that we love him too. And Jesus, it's through you, the Son, that we can know this eternal life with God and experience our purpose. And so, Lord, we say yes this morning to the story of humanity as it was originally planned out, life with God. And so, Jesus, we ask you to forgive us for rejecting you in every way that we have. And we thank you that through your death on the cross, you've wiped out every barrier that prevents us from knowing our Creator. And we say yes to Creator. We say yes to your intentions. We say yes to your image in us. We say yes to our identity. And we say yes to intimacy the way you intended, through Jesus Christ and with one another. Thank you for being the author of this epic story called humanity. You're the creator, you're the author. And Lord, help us to taste the sweet, wonderful breath of God right now. and to enjoy you forever. In Jesus' name we pray. And God's people said, amen.